things like, minor things like some little island somewhere.
Where are you going?
I can tell you about little boy.
I just wanted to know where you're going.
I'm going to the airport. Secondly, I just point out to you that as I'm coming here, one of the workers, the part of the earth workers who my other party represent, said, "Hello, Captain." So I didn't mind if you want to call me Captain, any of you. Sean, I'm from work, then we're doing on what exactly we do with the double tax agreements and other species that we are subject to convention. So on that speaking, the executive has already signed off on, or in the process of signing off on. I have raised it to various parties, and there's nothing you can do about it. And in fact, it seems that this is the way it's done most parliaments in any case. And therefore, I think it is a bit almost disingenuous for the jurisdiction officials to take us through every single case. We've got so much else to do, so I'm pleading with you. What you could do is, we could do a formal process of and then those of us who want to stay can stay and listen to you tell us about the Cayman Islands and so on. So just be with the key principle. Yes. Oversight. The last time, quite frankly, you held yourself up. We keep pleading with you. Please be brief. Show us what the key political principles are. The research will explore it further and we'll come back to you. Where there are issues you think that are policy issues for it. I'm like, what's the point? But having said that, can I also remind you this finally? Given the program, we need to, I think the study group will discuss this with South Korean majority party. We need to talk about the program. We are not analyzing it and doing it until we clear about availability of members and times and so on. We cannot continue the way we are, given the program that we have. So, as a start, tomorrow, we're starting at 9. Can members please be on time? And we will go through to 2 questions. And we'll meet online. So we'll have a 15-minute break. We can have a lunch break and everything. But we can't avoid that. So it's from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock tomorrow. And then we'll start discussing. I think it's better to have a consistent beginning time and ending time as far as possible. All of these issues will be reviewed next week. Also to say to you that Parliament will sit. It now seems that there's a being. I hope you're listening to that briefly. We were called by the chairperson of the
My whole presentation will take less than 10 minutes. I'll focus on the policy issues, why we pay or why we negotiate this business. My focus would be on our trade with Kuwait, Switzerland, Netherlands, and Luxembourg. So I'll skip slide one, and I'll only start with slide six with Kuwait. Kuwait is an existing agreement that we have. We negotiated it in 2004. But it had a zero rate on dividends, because that time we didn't have a dividend tax, we had a similar tax on companies. We had nine other cities that had a zero rate on dividends, which were renegotiated, and they are now in force. Kuwait is the only outstanding agreement that still has zero rate. The delay has been caused by some issues on the Kuwait side. We have renegotiated the rate, which my colleague from SARS will tell you what the rate is. I'm only focusing on the policy issue on that agreement. As you may be aware, the dividend tax came into effect in April 2012. So it is very important that this agreement finalizes. The next agreement is an agreement in Switzerland. It is a protocol to the current agreement. Again, Switzerland was negotiated a long time ago, where we didn't have interest withholding tax. We reduced withholding tax on interest with effect from 1 March this year, and we had to renegotiate all other agreements that have a zero rate on interest, so that we don't have loopholes created by the international agreements. So it is important when we change the domestic policy to also review international agreements to ensure that there are no loopholes that can be used by tax payers. The negotiation of the Switzerland Treaty also touched on the exchange of information, that updated the article on exchange of information in line with current international trends. And we've... the next one is the Netherlands Protocol. The Netherlands Protocol was also negotiated when we didn't have a withholding tax on interest. And when it was negotiated, the tax royalties on a net basis. So we have a zero rate currently on the interest, actual dealing with royalties. And that creates a loophole in now that we've increased the rate of royalties and we now tax royalties paid in order than on a cost basis. So it was important that go back to Netherlands and renegotiate those articles that create weaknesses in the system. We also negotiated an article dealing with capital gains tax. When we negotiated with Netherlands, we didn't have the capital gains tax, and we negotiated that in 2008, and we updated the article dealing with capital gains tax. But there was a loophole in that if you have that residence who holds shares in a company in South Africa, and the assets of that company, the majority of assets in that company are equal to property, then Netherlands had right to tax. The article does not have the current OECD model dealing with what we call property rich companies. So we negotiated that and that article, and we updated it in line with the current international standard on capital gains tax. The next GTA, which is the last one, is our GTA with Luxembourg. Our GTA with Luxembourg has the same problems or same weaknesses that we had in the Netherlands. That one was came into force in 2000, and that time we still had source basis of taxation. We didn't have capital gains tax. We taxed royalties on a net basis. We didn't have a holding tax on interest. So the renegotiation of the risk protocol addressed those issues. So we now have a rate on interest, a rate on royalties. We also address the issue of property rich companies with regards to capital gains tax. We also address the issue of dual residence, where you have a company that is incorporated in South Africa and has retrospective management in Luxembourg. And that is deliberately done by taxpayers so that they pay tax in Luxembourg. And Luxembourg, as we all are aware, is a low tax jurisdiction. also updated the exchange of information in line with the current internet options. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Shall we take the comments, questions, applications?
Sure. Thank you very much, Shasha. Not necessarily anything specific about the details of these treaties. What I want to check is, currently there is this discourse taking place on the base erosion and the profit shifting. And it's very clear that, among other things, there is an intent to zoom into some of these gaps leading to that. Now, it's very clear that there is a work that is being done, to plug some of these gaps. And as we discuss this phenomenon, we don't get much of the details of the impact that these critics are doing to deal with this problem, you know. Now, what I wanted to check is any prospect of having an analysis on the impact of these critics on dealing with this base erosion and profit shifting phenomena. I think that will help a lot to reach our discussion, because at times people just discuss and argue as if this is something that is not being held. And the rest of the matter, these treaties, among other things, are meant to address this problem. So an analysis will help to enrich that debate. I wonder if it's possible for us to, as a committee, to be finished with such analysis. Sorry.
Establish that there is any audit that is done, probably looking at the inflow of people from South Africa, the outflow of people from South Africa to those countries where we have treaties, in terms of the flood, and compare it with the declaration that we get, the tax-related declaration. Of course, there will be people that will be going there forever, but I think arising from there to maybe do an analysis, how many, you know, how often do we have, you know, this outflow people or, you know, vice versa. Especially in countries like Leavenberg, where you know that the low tax base, because people would obviously be, you know, be getting their money there. And I also want to know whether we have a strategy to manage the digital economy. Because it's no longer about really the hard cash that the person is carrying, but it's also about, you know, being able to transfer this thing you do over the internet or whatever, you know what I mean? Do we have a strategy of managing the digital economy? Thank you.
Anybody else? No? Okay.
Sean,
do you want to say?
I think the only thing I might like to add is just that parliamentary budget of Flagbox's point of view, our interest is particularly in the impact on revenue collection.
Yeah.
So the committee has to concern itself with that issue, and then issues of consistency in our tax policy and aid agreement to other countries. But it's a difficult thing to measure. But generally speaking, the idea is that these double taxation agreements either prevent double taxation, so tax of a given company or individual in both countries, or prevent double non-taxation where certain individuals are not being taxed at all. But what that means is the balance of individuals in terms across countries will affect what the impact is on revenue collection. It might be interesting for members to hear how SARS and National Treasury consider that in the process of negotiating the agreement.
Yeah, I think that's quite important. This came up, I think, before. And if you look, for example, what is worth in today's the Times, the lead story is the majority party saying that we cannot possibly fulfill the 2014 election mandate because of significant decline in revenue. So it's a major project, including the NHI, other infrastructure projects being held back. Now, that's one of many reasons why it's not always clear to what extent the agreement has been negotiated. But I'll hand over to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. With regards to the analysis of dealing with the impact of cities, what we do before we negotiate an agreement, we get data from the Reserve Bank of the outflows and inflows between South Africa and the other country. So when we introduced, in fact, what led to the introduction of the withholding tax on the nation was based on the outflows that we saw received from the Reserve Bank. They published what we call a quarterly bulletin, which would have a list of outflows, for example, dividends going out of the country and dividends coming in, in fact, going out and coming in. So these countries, for example, Switzerland, Netherlands, Luxembourg, and Mauritius, which have been negotiated already, have the highest outflow. So they were our first priority in terms of negotiating them. Because when you take Germany as an example, and take Mauritius or Luxembourg, and the investment flows outflow to Mauritius or to Luxembourg are higher than Germany, then ask questions. You ask for a substance in that country. Why would a person take so much to Luxembourg, for example, and not much to Germany? So we look at that outflow, the data from the Reserve Bank, and we also do a list of our companies in other countries. We look at the list of our companies. From an institutional point of view, we cannot go and ask companies, why are you investing there? But SARS has the power to do that. So my colleague from SARS would probably then add to the expense. But we look at the outflows, and it goes to the audit of people. The reason why we update the sense of information article is for SARS to have the power to do that, to go to the other revenue authority and say, we need information on this person. And then the push, you mentioned that there's a push as part of the DEFS project to have automatic exchange of information. So in other words, to the other country, we'll not wait for South Africa to post to them and, you know, and say we need information on this person. So if they see something that is sufficient, then automatically they'll be bound to exchange that information with SARS. But that will only come into effect between 2017 and 2018. We have a strategy to manage the digital economy. In respect of South African residents investing in other countries, we do have that. We have what we call control foreign companies. It is, but with respect of foreign multinationals investing here, unfortunately at the moment we don't have, and no country actually in the world has that strategy. As part of that, the action plan on artificial avoidance of PE, permanent establishment, is seeking to address that issue. And you might have seen the Davis Commission report. They recommended that instead of going right alone, UK tried 2 years ago, it failed, and they recommended that we participate in the BEPS and follow the recommendations that BEPS will take instead of taking unilateral action on that. Because you know, multinationals have investments all over the world and might not be successful. They have an investment, but might not be implementable. So we are participating in the best action plans. All my colleagues here, they're also part of the best action plans. We participate and we will definitely take the recommendations that will come out of that. September, I think, 30th September is the deadline for the finalization of application of the report or the status report. Thank you.
Yeah, sir, let me appreciate the response. My specific request was, is there any analysis that has been done just to give indication of the impact of this treaty on addressing the base erosion and profit shift phenomena? I'm insisting on this, sir, because it will assist us to demystify some of the myths that are currently prevalent in the public space about us not doing anything about dealing with this issue of base erosion and profit shifting, you know, by multinationals. So if we can just get that analysis, as much as I fully understand that there is a release of quarterly statistics by the government, but I'm just trying to check, because at times that those releases can be big, very, very comic with information. Can you give us an analysis of the impact of this treaty on our fight against space erosion and profit shift?
Yeah.
I want
to say I wanted you to get clarity on Article 13 because you are trying to measure, in fact, what you are thinking in terms of this amendment to get it done. Thing of mind that is trying to. Do you have it? Yeah. No, I wanted to understand that 50% of the digital game, which is, what is the threshold, what is this based on, because for all you care, I mean, if you say 50%, somebody could be having a if you only using the percentage, that's my main concern, if you're only using the percentage, you might actually find that you might have a lot of, you know, maybe the ticket, but informs that and what is the original behind.
Chair, with regard to determining purchase behavior, we actually look at the asset value of that company. We disagree with the company. We look at the asset value, and obviously, if more than 50% of the asset value is actually immovable property, shares in immovable property, that's how we would determine the amount. So this would actually be, like my colleague mentioned, the coverage company that you want to cover under this article. And that's how we go about it.
Thank you, Ms. Abinus. The threshold is not the percentage shareholding that you hold. It's the value of the assets of the company. So if the company is, if I said it's got movable properties, say cars and other things, and the majority, more than 50% of these assets, it's movable property, like say this building, they rent out this building here. Yeah.
Well, I'm just arrived now, but I heard what the gentleman was speaking about. Recommendations of the Davis Tax Committee. And that process of the Davis Tax Committee is not yet concluded. And I know because SDFF went to make a submission in the Tax Committee and there were a lot of issues that were considered there. Part of those is you need a legislation in the lawyer's account to legalize some of the practices that define the multinational corporations. Part of those is how do you create intra-company trade where a multinational company sells to itself in Luxembourg. That is why you're saying yourself that if lots of outflows to Luxembourg, then maybe to Germany, which is probably one of the fourth trading, tap in terms of size. We don't have a lot of trading relationships with Luxembourg and the other tax havens. I don't think the approach that you've outlined of saying that we need to be tied up in the bank process is helpful at all. Like if you check the internal critique of the OECD process, the internal critique of those who led the process internally, they say that the mechanisms and solutions that they've proposed and dealt with for more than 50 years now have not worked. They've not worked all together, and if the attitude is that, no, let us wait for the action plans and we want to work within the bad process, I don't think it's solving the situation at all. And this one thing which, among the many recommendations that are made by the high-level panel on illicit financial flows, which by adopting, by the AU, the federal government is supposed to take note from some of the concrete issues that are recommended there. And it does not say that we should do what you are saying must be done now, of just waiting for the auction plans of BEPS and OECD and everything. There are specific things which, as a country, you need to deal with. You need to have a solid legislative foundation and a framework which say that this is illegal, this is legal. Now, it's to some extent, companies can argue that it's legal to avoid taxes. And that is what they do in many instances, almost all of them. Even aggressively, there has not been a prosecution of, I don't know, maybe there is, of companies that avoid taxes. If the attitude is to say, no, let us wait for the best process and OECD, then it's a problematic attitude altogether, because OECD's interests are not the interests of South Africa to marginally collect taxes from multinational companies. The interests of OECD are something else, not your interest. And if you have got faith in that process, it's neglected faith, and you need to consider a different approach in terms of what happens. And I don't think, Chair, I hope it's not even media here, that it's not about electioneering, about doing everything, about profit shifting, we've done something and everything, just give that a guidance. We have not done something, we must say that these billions of rands have been lost. A lot of them, like, with the crisis now, mining is going to contribute possibly 10 billion into the national fiscal. And what do you call that? Because they are avoiding taxes and all these other things. It's about a direct intervention. It's not about politicking now. We're not campaigning. We campaign during elections and everything. It's about saying, here is the problem, how do we solve it, and what becomes the most durable solution. So the attitude that says that, no, we cannot go it alone because the UK did and then they failed, it's not helpful. Why don't you look at what Argentina did? Why don't you look at what Brazil is doing now with regards to addressing the question of tax avoidance? Why don't you look to Bolivia? And that is what must be looked into, and perhaps as National Treasury, dedicated team to study some of the much more different models on how to deal with illicit financial flows, but also transfer pricing and profit shifting. So you need to take a different attitude, because if your attitude is all OECD, bad process and everything else, the problem will not go away. And the crisis is compounding. It has got the potential to collapse the economy, because minerals are not enough to fail in the world market. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, let me say upfront that I'm going to try to be dispassionate about the issue, having acknowledged how passionate some members get when discussing BEPS and the excitement it creates. We don't have the luxury of getting excited when we regulate, because the disadvantage of government. I guess I'm going to be dispassionate. So, you see, Chair, when you're the one who starts fight, and I always find myself having to stop those fights.
That is fine. When you allow it to happen.
It gets very sad when I speak. I don't know why that Chair always gets excited when I speak. These are the neighbors. Yeah, they will favor to my neighbor. Chair, we deal with double taxation, so there's different issues to it. You prevent double taxation, you create fiscal stability, then you prevent tax avoidance. It's just but one issue amongst all of them. Right? Does that make a request that says, can we have an analysis on the impact of what our laws are having especially on these cases. So if the suffering request, it will deal with the issues of guilt. Right? That's the request. So in essence, he's requesting the chief to go back and arrange a separate way of making a presentation that will relate to this particular issue of tax avoidance. And it takes into account what you have said about the difficulty of implementation of such things in terms of how the structure of tax collection in the world right. It also takes into account suggestions that are made. I had an opportunity to go to OECD meetings in my previous life, and it's not on all occasions we agreed with the reports that were presented at the OECD level. We have had a lot of engagement. I remember, particularly when the current minister was deputy minister, he to accompany when I dealt with international trade, to argue our position, how it affects our trade balance. We argued, for instance, that we lost our market share to certain countries, particularly those whom we were aligned to in terms of trade, those who actually we were importing more goods and commodities from. It doesn't suggest that we would not want to look into that and in terms of the current impact. So I think we can use a cheap opportunity, but it should not be disingenuous to a point where we say how SARS currently is looking at the issue has failed altogether. It can't be justifiable. If there's a suggestion that we need to look at our legislative impact, we need to look at specifics, right? And the financial implications there of doing that type of work. Because as we do that, I make so many examples before. And one of the examples I make is it's the type of doors that the Competition Commission embarks on, for instance, when it wants to look at fixing and the impact of the work it had. At one point, they lost a lot of money in investigations than they getting the good end results. Because these people are doing those things, and me and you, just basic people, we don't know what they're trying to do, they know what they're doing, and they know how it's, that's why they use your best dollars to defend them, because we buy themselves and so on, and take you to and from, and by the end, when you charge them, if you compare what you've used to investigate them and what you get at the end, you only got 10%, but you use more than 10% to investigate. So, we should do it. We should do it. As a matter of principle, we agreed. We don't have to be labeled before. We have agreed as a matter of principle in this community. But we're not going to put it as a priority to a point as if we are investigating illegality and end up sending the little budget that we have within the budget that concerns the economy that will grow to prioritize an issue that, in my view, is not necessarily a priority matter. Profit shifting is different from illicit trade. So we need to be specific what you want to deal with. Profit shifting, it's not illegal. It's morally wrong. It's morally wrong. But illicit trade, to me, is the number one issue. That one I will insist on the other hand. Because it's criminal activity. So we should emphasize that in principle we agree. It doesn't matter how much we belabor the point. We agree in principle. It's a principle matter. We will focus on it, but we need to do the prioritization. So let's deal with double taxation, the two basic elements, to create fiscal stability and to ensure that there's no double taxation. And then we come to the other factors that we deal with. We're moving. So there's a suggestion that has been made. We're requesting that there's a saying, let's have it. We'll engage with it. And that's when we'll get more suggestions about how to legislate on it. Thank you, Chair.
All right.
I feel sorry for you.
What we have.
I feel sorry for you. You see, there's a lot of ground which is covered, but there's a proposal here which says that Treasurer must go and investigate and come back. On things which you said the ground has been covered, and that proposal is supported by... But what is being said here, it's evident that there's not been a step forward. Like, if it was two steps forward, there were three back. In terms of where we are. I'm not government yet. I'm a member of the committee. If that is your attitude, it's okay. We give advice in terms of how we must proceed and say that this issue which we can look into, illegalize tax avoidance, illegalize aggressive profit shifting and everything else. And then and then the members of the continent, they started to
have... only listen to what you want to
they,
hear.
They started to have with the profit system. We must not even focus on that. Let us focus on the trade and all these other things. Now, it's a very problematic notion that is being taken. And say, the crisis that is facing all economies that are dependent on the extractive sector of basic mineral resources is huge. And part of the interventions to ameliorate that will be to progressively deal with the question on the table on avoidance of taxes. And the way it is being handled here, it's so sorry. I was going to tell him, I feel sorry for him.
No.
And it's because of conceptual confusion as well.
Okay. Now, can we get it clear? We have agreed that the issue of double taxation agreement should also be part of the project. No one is disputing it, right? What we are saying is that we cannot lumber them with me on their own, because then you're outside of the engagement you're having with your ministry and transport. Now, unfortunately, you must tell you are here. We have agreed based on what they, not Lloyd, based on what we have said and other things. On the issue of the conceptual strategy, that will obviously be something that the Nassani Institute will choose to do. Workshop preparation, physical doctor, and program. On the issue of illicit loans being the key criminal activity, that's something Jazzy is entitled to say.
Yes.
If you disagree with it, there's no confusion. He deeply argued that you confuse. It's a like label, pejorative label. There's a difference of understanding. You might want to argue that that's. Personally, I have my own views. I think it's a very narrow focus of people. We're not looking at the nature of the political economy or the global economy. We're looking at this without linking into other structural issues that we have to assess. It's like an obsession with one aspect, you know, of the problems we've got without looking at what ultimate roots are and so on. But I don't feel that given where we are and the balance of forces at the moment in this country within the movement I come from and globally, that, you know, I choose one side to saddle. I also have strong views about this thing, but I think one has to be realistic about what's possible in the next few years ahead. And I think that the committee's done good work, at least because the EFF put pressure on it, and there's no doubt about it. We've entertained your documents. Your documents have actually been the only party documents we have that have also been fed into the process. So, you know, you can campaign on the thing, and I don't think anybody is going to...
You can claim the
question. Yeah, you can claim it.
Yeah,
on, although the issue was there well before you, as I said, we even formed the party. But that's not the end of the day. The truth is, you got, on your side, to be quite frank, the fact that you put the issue on the agenda, which has been denied. But the difference is, you seem to think that after the whole process, and in fact, we haven't explored it as far as we discovered, and you were so afraid once in the house. Actually, a lot of work got done, not enough. We have agreement here. I don't think there's an issue, Floyd. In fact, even this very morning did raise a new angle, and that's inserted into the process. So there was starting work on the thing, which you see. Right. Starting on the reply on the conceptual issues.
No, Chair, I'll engage you, Floyd. I got the opportunity to engage. He also misconstrued my point. He tells us what I said on the priority area. And he did not even hear when I said we agree in principle.
Now,
we're
not going to
cover
ground, but people are not here.
That's what's going to happen. Just to confirm if we are on the same page with the initial clarity. The request is just to have an analysis that will include, not necessarily for them to come back. Our program is empty time. Just to have an analysis and forward it to yourself, so we can bring it in into the process that you have just outlined. Thank you.
No, Chair, I think we welcome the opportunity to do that analysis and maybe through the budget office send that information to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right. Okay, so what further do you want from us on this protocol?
Can they also ensure that they use the instrument of many in this case and identify the potential risks that are because they can be prone to abuse.
No.
We have the four protocols, and we have the two tiers that you need to do for them. So, what I'm going to do very briefly take you through most important parts, which is the ring.
And the four that we've done with now.
Well, we haven't done our presentation.
Yeah, you're going to do your own
presentation.
And
then two presentations on
here.
Okay, so starting with the COIL protocol, one of the most important articles that my colleague Moshe asked me to talk about. And what we, in terms of our article, we allow the full state taxation, we allow the 5% full state taxation when there's 2% of holding, and 10% in all other cases. We have an exemption in paragraph 3, and that is where students are paid by a company of cost, which is a resident of one state, and into the government of another state. There will be an exemption in the full state, so we'll be only taxation in the resident state. But there's also a liability. Then we have a last one here. What's important about Article 4 of resident is we updated the Article 4. And then we, in paragraph 1, we said the term resident of contracting state includes collective engagement vehicles, which are like POCs. Now, paragraph 3 is important because paragraph 3 is an outcome that is going to be part of the BEPS budget. For many years, we've been negotiating using the TIC, the dual residence, for persons other than a natural person. What we found is that in some instances, the old test, which was on trade effective management, was being abused. There was a lot of structuring around it. You could actually shift your residence. Where major activities are actually taking place in one country, you may shift your residence to another country based on trade effective management. We've also tried to start this in the process of updating our interpretation notes on our domestic law interpretation of this effective management. Now, the new provision, which is in number 5 treaties, it's in our model, this paragraph 3, which is the dual residence person, other than natural person, says that the competent authority, in the case of dual residence, will actually look at various factors in determining where a person would be resident. You look at place of effective management, you look at place of incorporation, or where otherwise in constituting any other factors. If the competent authorities could not agree, then that person would not be entitled to treaty relief jurisdiction, except to the extent that the competent authority agrees. So we tried to negotiate this provision into our agreement. We think it's one way of actually containing the abuse with regard to state position management. Article 5 on 3, we've got a new paragraph 3, and for a construction PE, it must last for more than 12 months. For a service PE, it must last for periods aggregating more than 183 days in a 12-month period. Dividends, Article 10, we allow a source and resident state taxation, and we think 5% source state taxation when there's a shareholding of 10%, and 50% of all other cases. We've got an anti-abuse provision in paragraph 6 where this article will not apply. Now, if you have to look at what's happening in the BEPS project, one of the action plans is on treaty abuse. Now, for many years, we included in Article 10, 11, 12 of our model, provision on treaty abuse in relation to dividends, interest, and royalties, because that's where the treaty shopping takes place. So we actually now include these provisions. We only know the final outcome of the BEPS project on treaty abuse once the report goes to the G20. And then, of course, being a G20 country, we are required to actually implement some of these decisions that have been made by participating jurisdictions.
Can I request something there? I know I'm busy. Can I request when they go and present the report to the G20, we also have a delegation of APs, including Floyd, when that is being discussed. Please.
Right, interview for one.
Is it?
Hello?
This thing is not a joke.
No, I'm not a bad man, fortunately.
Okay, and then moving on to our relationship. We allow sword and weapons safe taxation, sword safe taxation, limited to 5%. Then we allow some exemptions in paragraph 3, and these exemptions are in line with our domestic law. So we allow them exemptions, pension funds, interest paid by banks, Paragraph 7, the active use provision again, where this article will not apply. Now, Article 13 on capital gains, we have a new Article 30, and what's important is that new article, the new paragraph 4, which my colleague mentioned about property use comments, which provides that gains derived by a resident of a conduct in place from the alienation of shares, deriving more than 50% of their value directly or indirectly from immovable property situated in the outer contract estate, may be taxed in both the source state and the residence state. Now, this paragraph will not apply when it comes to gains derived from the alienation of shares of companies listed on the recognized stock exchange, gains derived from the alienation of shares in the course of corporate realization, or where the immovable property from which the shares are derived their value in immovable property, which is actually in terms of a business to carry on. Page 6 is exchange of information. Now, there's lots of work being done on exchange of information. The current international standard is exchange of information on request, but that standard is moving to automatic exchange of information and spontaneous exchange of information. So in the future, we'll be probably bringing some agreements which add exchange of information, allow spontaneous and automatic exchange of information. South Africa committed to start automatic exchange of information in December 2017. What's important is that we've got the new OECD model, which says that while bank secrecy and domestic tax interest can't be used as an excuse to deny requests for information. And then we've got the second sentence in paragraph 2, which is from the updated OECD model, and it allows you to use the information for other purposes if the competent authority of the saving state authorizes that use. And it has to be allowed by the domestic law of both states. Okay, so you could use it for other purposes. Then we've got Article 28 in assistance and collection. Well, this allows both states to actually assist or empower both states to assist each other in the collection of taxes. What's important about Article 4 clarification in the additional protocol was what is a CID? So, well, I mentioned that a CID is a resident. And a CID established in a contracting state shall be considered resident of the contracting state. A CID in South Africa is any portfolio of a collective investment scheme in a participation bond, in securities or declared CIF. In a CID in Luxembourg would be an investment company with variable capital, investment company with fixed capital, an investment company with risk capital, and a collective investment fund. Now, the company authority can also agree to any UPIVs that have been established to agree that it actually qualifies under paragraph 1 of the 4 of the okay. So, this is actually important. It's a most state of nations provision in Article 11 and 12. Now, the explanation for Luxembourg is also applicable to the Netherlands because we have this most state of nations also in the Netherlands protocol. Now, this non-state nations provision it relates to interest and royalties. It's an automatic, called LSN provision, and it's triggered after a period of 5 years. So after a period of 5 years of when this agreement actually enters into force, and South Africa has any agreement where we have a lower rate or an additional exemption or taxation on the reduced taxable base, then that lower rate, that exemption or the reduced taxable base, will apply to this agreement automatically.